afternoon. I'm Linda Dow. Today's In Focus is about Lyme disease, the possible outcome of being bitten by a tick, which are very prevalent in our area. Myrna Lee joins us with her personal account of how Lyme disease has affected her family. She is the founder of the group Lanark Fights Lyme. Welcome, Myrna.
Thank you.
Nice of you to join us today. So how did you first become aware of Lyme disease?
My daughter's into horses, so we knew about Lyme disease in horses. And we also knew that if a horse got Lyme disease, by the time you realized that the horse was suffering from Lyme disease, it was pretty much the end. So it wasn't considered that treatable for horses. So when we found out that Alicia had Lyme disease, it was news to us that people could get Lyme disease. And that was in 2013.
Okay. And so where did that take you from here or from there, I should say, with Alicia and you realizing that it wasn't just horses that got this? What happened after that?
First of all, we couldn't get a positive test in Canada. The test that they give in Canada is deeply flawed, as most people know now. It had been changed during when there was a Lyme vaccine out back around 2000, and they changed the Lyme disease test to accommodate the vaccine. And then the vaccine was withdrawn, but the Lyme disease test was never reinstated as it had been. So we ended up having to get a test from a licensed lab in California called Igenix. They're still one of the best places to get a Lyme disease test if you feel that you're suffering from Lyme disease, but your test in Canada is negative. So that was the first thing we did, was to reassure ourselves that she actually had Lyme disease. We paid the money and got that test, and we tested for the other common tick-borne diseases that come from the black-legged tick, like Babesia and Bartonella. So Alicia did get a positive test for Lyme disease, Bartonella, and Babesia.
Now, you say that the test in Canada is deeply flawed. Did you want to get into that a little bit? Why do you think it is?
First of all, the test that they're doing doesn't test for the strains of Lyme disease bacteria that we have in Canada. So since they started using that test, and since Lyme disease became such a huge problem around the world, of course they've done more research and found that there are actually 5 strains of the bacteria in Canada, and we're only testing for one. And the one that we're testing for in Ontario is not actually the one that is most prevalent. So that's science. Everything that we say or do as far as Lyme disease is concerned is based on science, peer reviewed and double blind studies, etc. So that we know what we're talking about. And having lived it and having had a daughter almost die from Lyme disease, we had to be pretty careful to be sure of what we were doing. So first of all, we're not testing for the right strain of the bacteria. And second, that test was changed so that it raised the levels of antigens that would indicate that you had Lyme disease. So for example, before the vaccine, the level was, I think, 0.3, and then they raised it to 0.5 or 0.6 or somewhere in between there. That meant that all of those people who would have tested positive for Lyme disease before no longer test positive. So since 2013, there's another very good lab that has a slightly different test, and it's very accurate, and they're using that in Germany. So you can now send your your blood to Germany to have it tested.
But you can't do that here in Canada at this point.
They're not using that test here in Canada. I don't know why. I don't know why they just keep using that old flawed test. It's been a mystery to us since the beginning, and certainly to other Lyme disease sufferers across Canada.
Do we have a lot of Lyme disease sufferers here in Lanark County?
I don't have any numbers because for a long time they didn't keep numbers. I did ask the medical officer of health to start keeping numbers, but they would have been really low anyway because, of course, she would only count those people who tested positive, which is about 10% of people who would have tested positive who had it. So in other words, we were getting 90% negative tests that, and many of which would have been positive if they were using the right test. But even using, so it wasn't a reportable disease then, and it only became a reportable disease a few years ago. So for the actual numbers of Lyme disease sufferers in Lanark who tested positive, you'd have to go to our medical officer of health. I personally know hundreds of people here in Lanark who are suffering from Lyme disease who got a positive test from outside of Canada. Plus ones who tested positive here in Ontario. There are just huge numbers of people. It wasn't until when we first approached the medical officer of health in 2013, she told us to go to Kingston or go somewhere to Ottawa. She said there's no Lyme disease in Lanark, very, very little. And in fact, when we went to Kingston, they said, it's more prevalent up in your area. Why don't you go up there? So there was a lot of jostling going around, and in the end, we ended up having to kind of go our own route.
What were
some numbers?
Sorry,
go ahead.
I was just going to ask what were Alicia's symptoms. This must have been a horrendous battle for you and your family all these years. What were some of her symptoms back then?
She had symptoms right from the age of about 15, and we diagnosed her when she was 26. So Alicia has what you call late stage Lyme disease. There are about 100 symptoms associated with Lyme disease because you also often get co-infections. So there are lots and lots of symptoms. When she finally had to shut down her business, she was a horse trainer. When she had to shut down her business and move in with us, she was suffering from tremors. Her hands were cramping up. She was losing her strength. She couldn't eat. She had lost so much weight. She's 5'7" and she weighed 92 pounds and really wasn't keeping anything. Nothing was digesting properly so she was basically starving. She had vertigo. She had spots in her vision. Her face was starting to get palsied. And plus full body pain. It was taking her about an hour to get out of bed in the morning. And sleeplessness was a huge, huge symptom that she's only now getting under control in the last year or so.
So she's That's feeling better now then?
Yes. She asked her this morning, actually, because I knew that you'd be asking. She's still her body will. It looks like will never produce some hormones, so she has to have artificial hormones. But she has, she mostly the biggest. Help for her symptoms, to keep her symptoms away, is her diet. So she still doesn't eat sugar, very little sugar. She can't digest gluten. So her diet is very restricted. I know there's some other huge categories she can't eat, but she is feeling quite a bit better. I'd say she's about 85%, and that's as long as she's careful with her diet.
And is she still undergoing treatment in the United States? Or what?
Well, Alicia never received treatment in the United States. When I found out that she had Lyme disease, the only thing really in the States that we paid for was the test. And but I said we live in a universal healthcare system, and I've been paying into this all my life. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying for people down the road paid $250,000 for treatment in the States, he's still very, very sick. That was, that was back in 2013 that they told us it would cost us about $250,000. So the first thing I did was Alicia needed intravenous antibiotic, and that is very hard to get in Canada and very hard to get in Ontario. We were really, really lucky to get the only doctor in Canada at that time who was treating Lyme disease. She lived in Ottawa, and she came to one of our meetings to give a presentation. And when she saw how sick Alicia was, she took her on. So she managed somehow, we slipped it through and got Alicia intravenous doxycycline for a long time. And that's the reason why they don't like to do it, is because if you're going to get rid of late stage Lyme, you pretty much have to have, first of all, intravenous, because antibiotics won't penetrate the brain sheath. So we had to. So the only way to get it to the brain is with antibiotics, was intravenous, and then the long term. You have to keep giving it until the symptoms are gone. And nobody wants to do that. I mean, we didn't want to do it, but we were desperate. Alicia was dying. So that was our alternative. That would have cost us about $40,000 if we hadn't had it covered. So we got lucky, very lucky there. I don't know anybody else who's gotten intravenous antibiotics in Canada.
How did you start Lanark Fights Lyme? Was it Alicia's condition that made you do that?
Well, sure. That was because we really didn't know very much about it before then. But then there were so many people in Lanark suffering just like Alicia, with no help, nobody to represent them. Lisa Saunders had Lyme disease probably worse than Alicia, and she had gone to the States and received her treatment there, and she was able to walk again and resume her life with a few permanent symptoms, but well enough to really, really move on and go back to work. That's a big one. And she, was telling us how we needed something, and she was too sick to do it. So was Alicia. So I said, well, let's have a meeting. We'll see, because you find it really hard to believe that your health system is failing so many people so badly. So we had a meeting at McMartin House, and this was near the end of, I think it was maybe September 2013. And Lisa said before the meeting, she said, well, how many people do you think we're going to get? Because I was only putting out about a dozen chairs. And I said, well, for a first meeting, for something like this, it's pretty specific. I said, we'll be lucky to get a dozen people. So we got 85 people into the room and then had to close the door. And so it was quite a different meeting from what I thought it was going to be. So consequently, we moved our meetings to St. John's High School, to the atrium there. They have a really nice big area there, and it's easy to get into, so very accessible for the people who were too sick. So our second meeting had about 150 people. And the third meeting was, we had the doctor, the famous Lyme disease doctor, and we had quite a few people there. And that over the years, we moved it around to accommodate people, but our neighbor got it. And she took over Lanark Fights Lyme, so I kind of had to move on and got away from it.
Are you still actively advocating for Lyme sufferers today?
Whenever I'm asked, I'm often called, like for this interview, I'm often called to do a presentation. So I have some, and I keep them up to date because the science is certainly changing all the time on Lyme disease. We know a lot more about it now, and we know a lot more about ticks, which are really interesting creatures. And so I will advocate whenever anyone asks me, but mostly I'm advocating, for whatever group. It doesn't matter if it's Lanark Fights Lyme. I'll come in and talk to any groups that wants that needs me to talk.
Are we getting anywhere in Canada now? Have things changed a lot? It's 2022 now. What do you think?
Things have hardly changed at all. It's amazing how little it's changed given the increase in the incidence of Lyme disease and the fact that if you treat Lyme disease in the first 3 months, it's so much cheaper with very little pain, etc. But we insist on using that test. That test hasn't changed, even though we have much better tests out there, and we know that we're using the wrong test. Until we get testing fixed, doctors are really hesitant to treat without that test. They're hesitant to diagnose. And I know many people. I'm a teacher, so I know three teachers who since 2015, these three have gotten Lyme disease, and they're having a terrible time because without that Canadian diagnosis, without a positive test, and a doctor who refuses to diagnose Lyme disease, they are, they're at the mercy of the system. And our health care, our benefits through work will not kick in without that test, that positive test and that diagnosis. So consequently, very little has changed. The one thing that has changed, which just makes me laugh because of all things, it's kind of the really dumbest, is that when you go into emergency, and if you have redness around the bite and you have an engorged tick, they will give you 200 milligrams of doxycycline to treat it. It's called a prophylactic. And it's based on a really old study that has been actually debunked, should never have been published. And I went online today just to look and see what they're saying. And in the National Center for Disease. I can't remember the name of it. It's not CDC. It's another big organization in the States. It talked about how this study was very flawed, and we shouldn't be really basing our treatment on that. So we're getting 200 milligrams of doxycycline if we go into emergency, or sometimes your doctor will give it to you if you happen to be able to get in to see your doctor. And that's considered a half daily dose by most Lyme literate doctors. And all it will do, according to the most recent studies, is suppress the rash. So it's not actually getting rid of Lyme disease. You just won't see if you were going to get a bullseye rash, you won't get it, or any other rash associated with Lyme disease.
So, we're almost out of time. I'm sorry to have to.
That's all right. That's okay.
I have to cut it short. But anyway, I hope that Alicia is on the mend and feeling much better. I appreciate your comments, your personal experience with Lyme and how it's affected you and your family. We will have more discussions about Lyme disease from different people. And as we go through the weeks, I hope, and I'd like to speak to you again about it down the road a little bit, and we'll see if anything's changed as we go. How about that?
That sounds great. I just wanted to plug that a couple of local people have written books. Christy Giles Woods wrote a book on her experience, and Shelley Ball, who's a scientist, Dr. Shelley Ball, she recently published a book, and they're about their experiences. So you can learn quite a bit from them.
Yes, we've had Shelley Ball on to talk to us a few times, and it's been very informative. So I want to thank you very much for your contribution today, and we'll talk again. So thanks very much, Myrna.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've been speaking with Myrna Lee. She's the founder of Lanark Fights Lyme. And we invite you to join us again for more discussions about Lyme disease coming weeks. I'm Linda. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.